Hey friends, Abner Suarez here. You're tuning in to the new Pneuma Godcast. Be sure to download, subscribe every week with my dear friend Norman Brown, who has a guest that will bring you insight, understanding, and tools to equip you to live in this world as God intended you to live.
What's up, new Pneuma fam? I'm your host, Norman Brown, aka Professor. And as usual, we about to get lit on this podcast. You know I always got to bring the fire, sometimes controversy, because most ministers of the gospel in the West, unlike myself, won't correct error, false doctrine, or the idolatrous ways of the church. I'm cut from a different cloth, and as I always do, I am about to talk about another topic that is going to blow your mind, but hopefully bring clarity as well. So no more delay. Let's get it. Welcome to the new Pneuma Godcast. Once again, this is your host, Norm, the professor. And today I'm going to be doing a discussion with my man, Terrence. What's good, Terrence?
What's going on, bro? How you doing?
I'm good, man. This is going to be the actual genesis, so to speak, of the live videos that we're going to be doing on the YouTube channel. And I just wanted to say that I want to welcome everybody that's in the YouTube streets. You know, this is the new improved version of New Pneuma Godcast. And we're launching out in this way, hoping that we can make a greater impact, you know, in this sphere of influence. So today, our subject is going to be misquoted, misappropriated, and misunderstood scriptures. So the reason why this became such a topic that I wanted to discuss is because I found it over the years that whenever I was talking to people about the Word of God and we got into certain types of conversations, that certain scriptures would come up repeatedly, misquoted, misappropriated, and misunderstood, like we said our topic is today. And so I just felt like it was going to be necessary to talk about some of those. I'm not saying we're touching every single one of them. There's a whole lot of scriptures that we could get into, but there's certain ones that are more common than others as far as, you know, how often they're used, how often they are depicted as, you know, something that that is I guess you could say the way that it is. I'm gonna say it that way. So this is the first time that many of you are actually seeing me live like this. Unless you've been on TikTok or Instagram and you happen to see some videos from back in the, you know, in the past or whatever. I've only been on a few videos like this that I've released, but I'm finally in a season where that's what we're about to start doing. That's what I'm about to move forward with. So hopefully you all are gonna like that, and this will be even better for us to interact and things like that. So let's get into it, man. So the first thing is, I want to ask you, Terrence, like, just in general, like, how often have you seen where scriptures were misquoted, misappropriated, and misunderstood?
Man, this happens all the time. It happens all the time because some of us get our theology from really pop theology. We see it even when from music. A lot of times we quote scriptures based on songs that came out, and then we think that that's really in the word, and then it's not. That's not what it is. So it happens often. And we all have fallen victim to it. Then we get in the Word and we start studying like, oh, this is not even in here. So I was led astray this whole time. So it happens a lot. It's a normal thing, but it's good when we can correct error and bring some clarity to what the scriptures is actually saying.
Yeah, man. I would say the same thing. And, you know, I've been in barbershops. This topic of religion comes up and somebody just blurt out something, you know, well, you know, money is the root of all evil, you know, something like that. And you're like, what? man, that's not what the Bible says. So it's like, you got to correct these phrases that's going out here and, you know, almost basically become a part of pop culture, so to speak, or society, where people just hear it so much, that's what they think it really is. And so today, this is our attempt to bring light to these types of things. As was said to me before, I'm going to make sure that I say this before we really get into this. First of all, this is meant to be a learning experience, you know, not an experience where it's like, you know, we're beating anybody down or anything like that. We're just bringing light to some things. We're trying to open up eyes of people who either may not be that scholarly, or maybe they have just gone on the word of others and they haven't actually researched for themselves and things like that. You know, those kind of things happen. So the point of what we're doing today is to bring light to things and to hopefully open up the eyes of individuals so that they're going to be able to see, okay, I need to study the word a little bit better. So based on the fact that, you know, we actually started out with this, we have about 10 scriptures that we're going to be bringing out today. And if any others come out, then that's cool too. So you want to set it off, Terrence?
Now, which one you want to go to, and then we can see from there. What's the first one you want to bring out?
Okay, well, let's talk about money is the root of all evil. We know that is one of the biggest ones I've heard a lot out here. Money is the root of all evil. So, you know, let's start with that one.
Right, so I'll set it off. So clearly the scripture doesn't say that. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. Let me get to, do you already have the verse right there with you?
Well, I was looking it up right now. So it's 1 Timothy 6:10.
Okay. I think that is a good one. 1 Timothy 6:10.
Yeah.
Because when I looked at it, you know, and when we dig into the context of it, you know, the Apostle Paul is really trying to address, he's trying to address covetousness, and he's trying to address what to prioritize. But he's not condemning money at all, but he's dealing with our hearts. Let me get to it. What I wanted to do is go a little bit back before he gets into that. And it's still like it's jumping into it, but for the sake of time. And let's see. In verse 6, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Verse 8, "And having food and raiment," or clothing, "let us be therewith content." In verse 9, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." So he's going after this and is dealing with the idea that those who are rich fall into a different kind of temptation than other people because of their access and what they basically can do everything that's in their wicked hearts to do if their hearts are wicked. In verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." The love of money is the root of all evil. So people quote that all the time. Money is the root of all evil. That's wrong. "Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So in that, he's saying here that it's the covetousness is that he's actually addressing. He's addressing that. But I want to go a little bit further because he then challenges the people. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience or perseverance, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So I see Paul is actually addressing And if you go a little bit deeper into the whole context of the scripture, he's addressing teachers who came into the church. And those teachers came into the church bringing up contention and basically saying that having money was equivalent to being godly, or having money was equivalent to godliness. And so they were trying to use their status and their esteem and their wealth to establish why they were better than other people. And so he was addressing that. And in the midst of that, in the context of that, he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which is really just addressing the covetousness of the heart. And then he says, if you're going to pursue something, pursue those things that was mentioned. So, that's basically in a nutshell what it is. It's not money, because if your heart is righteous and if your heart is pure, you're going to use money to advance the kingdom. You're going to use money to do ministry. You're going to use money to do missions and all kind of other things. So, and even take care of your family. That's not evil, because the scripture says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So there is a scriptural basis for us accumulating money and resources to do what is required of us. So, but it's the love of money. But that's that basically in a nutshell what I have on that.
Yeah, and I would add to that, you know, when we look at certain examples in the Bible, like David or Abraham, these guys were walking with God and they were wealthy. They were rich men. They were not just, you know, they weren't beggars. They weren't on the street. They weren't homeless. They were actually people that could build a kingdom. They could actually, I mean, David's money is what was used to add to building the temple, you know, that was built after, you know, he was alive. And the point is that took a lot of money. And even to this day, I mean, when we look at how much money it takes to do the work of the ministry, we're talking about spreading the gospel all around the world. And we're talking about taking it to different countries and things like that. It takes a flight to get somewhere. And I know for a fact, a flight from America to, let's just say, Africa, we're talking at least about $1,500 or more just for a regular flight. And so you go to any country outside of America, that's like, let's say, Africa, Europe, Australia, something like that, you're going to be paying at least $1,500 to $2,000 to fly. So just imagine if there's more than one person that has to fly to another country to be able to make that happen. You multiply that times six and you got $12,000 right there that you need just to fly. We didn't even talk about eating or even where you're going to sleep while you're there, because you got a certain amount of time you're going to be there, certain amount of days you have to be able to eat, certain amount of days you're going to be sleeping somewhere. So if you're going to be in a hotel, if you happen to be somewhere where you have a hotel, then there's the hotel cost.
Right.
If you don't have somewhere to sleep that, you know, is someone's house or something like that. So hotel costs would be like $100 or more a night. You know what I'm saying? And if you're talking about six people, again, let's just say two per room. So if the room is a minimum of $100 and you stay in there for a week, 700 times three, that's 2,100 just for the room without taxes.
Easy.
Without taxes included. So 2,100 plus 12,000 plus food. I mean, the numbers are adding up. It's going to be almost 20,000 by the time you finish, you know. And that's just to take care of the people that went out. That's not even talking about what they had to do for the people where they go.
Where they go. And you know what? That's a good point. That's something, you know, who I noticed in doing ministry, some of the quote unquote beggars of ministry, the most, a lot of times the mission people, because some of them have embraced a poverty mentality. But at the same time, they can't do the ministry that they're called to do. So they'll go to the churches and beg for money, or they'll can I preach at your church so they can raise an offering so they can have enough money to go back to the mission field, which is a shame because of that mindset, not having a business mindset when it comes to having something that you can do that would produce resources, so you won't be reliant upon. Not to say that you shouldn't rely on the church, because the church is supposed to sow into missions, but just that mindset that, hey, they don't have it. Sometimes they don't have a place to stay. They don't know when they're going to get their next meal. They come to the church for the church to feed them or whatever, and they're begging for money so they can go back on the mission field. And I just think that whole mindset needs to change about that, because it's a poverty mindset, but yet you're trying to do missions, but you're coming from a place of a lack. And so now you're begging. Now you're a minister preaching the gospel, reliant upon whether the church will source your next mission.
Thanks for listening to the New Numa Godcast once again. This is your host, Norm. Follow me at Norm the Professor on IG. I'm in agreement for power and breakthrough in your life. Keep tuning in every week for that real talk